It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Oh my God, interrupted me in the middle of my birthday dinner. What's wrong with all of you? Good evening, everyone. It is Sunday night, March 27, 2022. This Sit Down with Yours Truly is back once again. I am Don Tony, and want to thank you all for joining me tonight. To everyone out there who has sent birthday wishes, believe me, I tell you, even though if it was up to me, I wouldn't celebrate birthdays at all, it still feels good and it's still very much appreciated. I thank you very much for that. It was funny yesterday getting all of these alerts on my phone. Now, I know for some that live overseas, you know, it becomes Sunday, you know, when it's still Saturday for yours truly, but it was funny. A lot of people thought my birthday was yesterday. And it reminded me of the infamous segment, you know, The Rock and Mankind, This Is Your Life, The Rock. And, you know, my birthday's May 6th, you stupid son of a bitch. So, yeah, it's March 27th. You know, we're going to get right into questions. No reason why we should stick on this topic, but I thank you all again. You know, as I say, you know, off and on, for those that are too cool for school, that will tweet 1,000 negative things, but don't even take the time, not even for me, but for anyone to wish them a happy birthday or something like that, seriously, go fuck yourselves. To quote the Iron Sheik, if you're that miserable that you can't wish someone else, you know, something good, go fuck yourself. Because when you get into that dark place and you want everybody to run to send thoughts and prayers for you, all of these people, oh, I'm in a dark place, oh, I really could appreciate this and that, then you know what it feels like. So fuck you, seriously. And I say that more of Iron Sheik, you know, tone. You know, every day Iron Sheik has something to say to Hulk Hogan. So go fuck yourself. Yesterday was a very emotional episode, at least for the first 45 minutes of it. You know, we talked in detail about Triple H's situation. And, yeah, it hits home for me. It hit home for a lot more of you than I realized. And, you know, I totally get some of you out there. It's too painful to talk about publicly. You know, some can talk about it publicly and some cannot. And I got some very, very emotional, powerful emails and DMs in the last 24 hours. And, you know, one person said, you know, and I saw another comment tonight, you know, always put your personal take on it. Because anybody could read a news, anybody could read a transcript, anybody could replay Triple H's interview. But to put that personal touch on it, it helps us relate. It helps us understand because, unfortunately, cancer, maybe heart disease and maybe other types of illnesses can be struck down more on the impoverished. You know, communities don't have the wealth like others. So, you know, believe me, that's true. A lot of people don't realize that. You look at some minority neighborhoods out there, you know, that don't have the income level of some other better neighborhoods. They're forced to go to the supermarket and eat banquet, $1.49 frozen dinners and have to, you know, eat maybe not the most healthiest things because that's all you can afford. But when it comes to cancer, when it comes to heart attack, you know, genetically, you know, some of those things, it has nothing to do with status. It has nothing to do with a blue check mark. It has nothing to do with if you're in front of the camera or behind the camera. What happened to Triple H happened to me, happened to some of your dads, uncles, grandfathers, some of you yourselves. It seems like it happens more to men than women. That's what I have noticed in the last 24 hours. But, you know, we should always be able to talk a little bit real about these topics. And it's not like we're putting the focus on all of us, but we try to relate, we try to understand. And, you know, to see some of you out there write that there was one of your favorite episodes with such a sad story on top of it, I realize it's therapeutic for a lot out there. So, you know, any way that I can help, you know, I'm no professional, you know, but if I can help in any way, that's what I'm here for. So, Matt, happy 41st to you. His birthday is tomorrow. And to everyone out there that shares my birthday, had one yesterday, Aries kick ass. That's one thing, Aries kick ass. My fiance is also an Aries. Her birthday is next week. So we have birthday 1 week apart. So next week we do it again. Roxal Wolfie, welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to the family. So let's get right into questions. You know, I have the chat room open right now. We have super chats going as well. Under no circumstances does anybody have to super chat to get your question answered. Of course, super chats get a little bit of VIP priority. I mean, that's given everywhere else. But all I ask in the chat room, if you are going to ask a question, write in capital letters the word question before your question, or just put a capital Q. So this way it stands out, because I know a lot of you like to chat with each other, and I could spot the questions a little bit better. And again, just for respect for your fellow viewers and listeners out there, you know, let's spread the questions around, because I know some of you out there will post 5-10 questions, you know, post one after the other. Let's spread it around. One fascinating question, and it's interesting that it came in tonight, because I had just watched Jim Cornette's, well, I listened to Jim Cornette's podcast, and Sable was a topic of conversation. So, you know, In fact, you know what? Let's answer this one right now, right off the bat, because I think this is a great question to open up tonight's show. From Lascelles Williams, question for me, DT. Tori Wilson recently said she wasn't allowed to thank Sable in a Hall of Fame speech. Jim Cornette was asked last week why this is, and he thought Tori may have wanted to talk negative about Sable. What say I? Well, first of all, I'll answer it like this. I know Jim Cornette, in a lot of ways, with the current age of pro wrestling, you look at the Joey Ryan stupid shit, you look at some of the AEW, you look at the DDT promotion, you look at some of the antics in wrestling that piss him off, because he thinks it's a slap in the face to, you know, the art of professional wrestling. I'm not saying that Jim Cornette is a bitter person, but when he made the comment that he thought maybe Tori Wilson was going to say something negative about Sable, I thought about every Hall of Fame speech that we have ever watched in WWE. And I honestly cannot think of a real awkward moment where somebody was on the WWE stage accepting their Hall of Fame induction and throwing shade towards fellow coworkers. You know what I mean? So and plus Tori Wilson is such a nice person. You know, such an easygoing person, so likable. Like, does anybody out there really think that Tori Wilson would go on it? Maybe if she was joking about Dawn Marie because of the Al Wilson storyline, but joking about it because it's storyline, I could see that. But in no way, shape, or form do I think that Tori Wilson was going to throw shade towards Sable. Now, to answer your question, why do I think Tori Wilson was not allowed to bring up Sable? I think the answer is pretty simple. Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, if you watch the Pat McAfee interview, if you take notice of some of the interviews that he has, you know, this is a farm boy. This is someone who is tough and scary motherfucker. Beat the crap out of any of us. But he's one that likes to hunt, live in, I don't want to say isolation, but, you know, in the mountains, you know, kill his own dinner, you know, hands on everything. He is very, very old school, how he was brought up, family. And, you know, when it comes to his marriage to Sable and his children, that is a topic that Brock Lesnar doesn't bring up. And I think his private, personal family life is off limits when it comes to WWE. I think it's completely off limits. And out of respect to Brock Lesnar, I believe that WWE has told the roster and Hall of Famers that, you know, like, please do not mention Sable, because then people associate Sable with Brock Lesnar. And then I think that's the reason why. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, the controversy and the lawsuits from back then. I think that is all, you know, it's a different WWE world now. There might have been some angst and animosity back then, but, you know, they live a very private life. They live a very private life. And I think Brock Lesnar wants his personal private life left off of the cameras, left off of the microphones. That's why I believe Tori Wilson was not allowed to mention Sable. So I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But you asked, and I answered. But thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. All right, let's head on over to the chat room. Let's see. All right, I'm looking for capital questions. All right. Michael Gonzalez, favorite WrestleMania stage design? I don't have one. I mean, it was almost nothing. But only because I was able to go with family and friends at the time. I always remember WrestleMania 10 with that giant X. Years later, you know, XPW stage, that X always reminded me of WrestleMania 10. But that X is something that I always remember when I think of WrestleMania. I mean, look, WrestleMania's had some incredible stages. Safeco Field, you look at the last bunch of years, I mean, I don't have any favorite setup. I mean, as far as intros go, when Steve Austin's glass broke and everything shattered, you know, I think that was the year that he won the WWF Championship. Those were epic. I mean, we've had some incredible Undertaker entrances. John Cena, you know, I mean, you could just go on and on and on. So I don't have any one particular. And look, as far as family and friends, I want to make this clear. We were not at WrestleMania 10. We were at this big WrestleMania party. So I just want to clarify that, because anybody, you know, there's a trillion people out there that'll say that they were at, you know, certain events. No, it was a big party. But I always remember that 10. Always remember that 10. Kevin Milwaukee, my birthday was on the same date as WrestleMania 3. Do I have any good memories from that day? Yeah. I still have all my VHS tapes of all the wrestling members. I'm saying members because I'm looking at the screen. James Campbell, welcome, my friend. I don't know if it's happy anniversary or welcome back to the family. No, it is 1 year anniversary. Props, man. Props. Much love, my friend. Much love. Thank you again, all of you, for the birthday wishes. All right, let's get back to WrestleMania 3. I have still all my VHS recordings from wrestling going back to 1982. It's funny when I look at some of them, because I'm like, wow, my handwriting was awful at the time. I found a VHS tape that I taped from 1982 about a year ago, but I have WrestleMania 3 still recorded from my own recording. And what I remember that night more than anything was replaying over and over again when the referee counted to three with Andre the Giant, Gorilla Monsoon's son, Joey Morella. And I can't tell you how many times as a kid, slow, super slow motion. Now, VHS and super slow is not perfect, but I kept watching it over and over again, trying to understand how there was not a three count. But that's my biggest memory from WrestleMania 3. Just the size of the crowd, all the camera bulbs. Steamboat Savage was epic, but believe me, guys and gals, believe me, take it from somebody who grew up a wrestling fan at that time, Steamboat Savage was not the focal point of WrestleMania 3. Not even close. It was a good storyline, but because of the George the Animal Steel part of it and his infatuation for Miss Elizabeth, that storyline always felt more cartoony than anything else. Steamboat Savage has taken a life of its own in years that followed because of how awesome the match was. But believe me when I tell you, when people say, oh, I watched WrestleMania 3 for Steamboat Savage. For some, I believe it. But for most, bullshit. Bullshit. The reason why people will say that, like, yeah, good taste, man. You know, work rate, blah, 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 blah. Believe me. You go back, even the coverage, even the magazines, even I think some of the early crappy newsletters at the time, because they were prehistoric, the focus was Hogan Andre. And it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. That building sold out 93,000 people because of Hogan Andre. Steamboat Savage was a compliment to that, but believe me when I tell you, that was not the buzz amongst wrestling fans. And I'm not saying that because I'm Northeast either. You know, overall, that's what it was. Look at the coverage afterwards. I mean, just look at the magazines afterwards. Did they suddenly just focus on Steamboat Savage? No, of course not. Okay, let's scroll down. Doug Eaton, my favorite version of The Undertaker. Huh. Oh, yeah, Gerald Steiner. Yeah, we have to have some fancy sparkling water for the birthday. Favorite version of The Undertaker, you know... I will always have a soft spot in my heart for the original Undertaker, the one that pile drove Hulk Hogan onto the chair and became the champion for a very short period of time. I enjoyed that Undertaker because there was so much unknown. We knew me, Mark, but there was so much unknown about the Undertaker, and it was so surreal at the time. That I will always have a very soft spot in my heart for. In years later, I enjoyed Big Evil. American Badass was great as well, but believe it or not, I enjoyed Big Evil because it felt like it was more of a representation of who The Undertaker truly was. And look, even though it's The Undertaker, you know, does anybody believe that he could go like this and lightning bolts are going to shoot? You know, it got a little goofy after a little while. But, you know, I enjoyed Big Evil and American Badass. Charlie, I have no idea what you mean when you say, is Cena's Undertaker match a good, proper match? Proper in what way? I mean, was it a good match? Sure, sure. Is it a representation of Undertaker? Sure. But other than that, I don't know what else I could say about that. Roger Rubio, do I like Tres Leches cake? Believe it or not, I think she's taking a shower right now. No, she would not show up in here with a towel, but that's her favorite cake. Me, I'm forced to, if I have keto cake, I'm forced to have something like that. I had something like that tonight. Not perfectly keto, but since I've been strict on keto the last couple of weeks, I figured I don't think it's going to knock me out of ketosis tonight. But Tres Leches, I like, but that's a favorite. That's a favorite. All right. Twix is asking, why was Hogan allowed to use his name in WCW at Razor, Nash, and Bossman could not? because Razor, Nash, and Boss Man did not own the rights to their name. Hulk Hogan had the wherewithal, and Hulk Hogan had that name before he went to WWF, now WWE. So Hall and Nash, the Razor Ramon and the Diesel names were trademark of WWE. Just like now. You know, people still don't understand. You know, when you see Gunther, when you see Butch, you see things like that. I mean, WWE is doing that to own the trademark of the character itself. So if it does take off and it sells crazy merchandise, that is owned by WWE. Even Undertaker. I mean, I'm sure Vince McMahon and The Undertaker have negotiated a little bit over the last bunch of years, but even when Undertaker was out for a little while of WWE, you know, still attached but not working, you saw him advertise at a lot of places under his real name because, you know, it's strictly WWE owning the trademark of the names. They listen, people that are hardcore AEW don't deal with this, and that's totally understandable. But WWE, everything is about intellectual property, period. They will not have many wrestlers that will wrestle under their real name because WWE wants to have an intellectual property of that person. So if that person leaves, they can't go to the competitor and profit off of a character name that WWE owns the intellectual property of. Look at Cesaro. We heard that Cesaro just tried to file a trademark for CSRO. CSRO. And, you know, you look at it, it sounds like Cesaro. But that's trying to play semantics because he can't use Cesaro outside of WWE. That's WWE's intellectual property. Now, you saw with Enzo, you know, Enzo went and trademarked N-Z-O. But even when some people use Enzo's name now, they don't say Enzo. Some will actually say N-Z-O. You know, so it's simple business. You know, I always stress the business side of wrestling so people could understand why things are done. You know, you look at the Vince McMahon appearance on Pat McAfee, and he exposed a lot of people out there that, you know, have an agenda. And there are tons of people that still don't understand that WWE has to answer to stockholders, you know, and they get offended by using terms of dead weight and everything like that. Yeah, that's the corporate world for you, you know, whether you like it or not. And, you know, everything is about business. You have to understand that. Look, when I did the ECW reunion bus trip in 2005, there's a episode on YouTube that talks about it. I showed you the legal papers from WWE. When I was simply promoting a bus trip, I wasn't even selling tickets. I wasn't making any money off the tickets. All I was doing was providing transportation. I went on my website and put ECW reunion show, bus trip. And I got a 2-page legal letter from WWE threatening to sue me. That's what led to me buying the rights to Eastern Championship Wrestling, which that in itself is a fun story. And then, you know, I'll always be attached to that. But everything is business with WWE. They could like you, but they're not going to make exceptions. Because if they make an exception for one, then they're going to have to make an exception for all. That's why even with the situation with Jeff Hardy and Mustafa Ali, for those two especially, you know, Jeff Hardy, okay, you know, he got around it, so to speak, but WWE doesn't want to set that climate where people that are totally unhappy could just walk out through the crowd and quit and just sit at home for 90 days and then they could go work. No, WWE is not going to set that climate. This is the business corporate world. Look, I feel bad for Mustafa Ali. I really do. Yes, he's still getting paid. But what we say over and over again is Mustafa Ali knew who he was doing business with when he signed that dotted line. Every wrestler that does business with WWE knows what they're getting into. So when you see people getting released, 50, 60, 100, 200 people, people that we feel shouldn't have been released, and we're all up in arms, and people could write those, you know, feel-good tweets like, look, they got record profits, but they still let 100 people go. Every single one of them know what they're getting into when they ink a deal with WWE. That's why I always say, when those people are so outspoken with those tweets on social media, take notice how they all hide under the ground when other wrestlers sign with WWE despite what's gone on the last 2 years. Look at the recent signings. All of those people on social, did any of them have the balls to go up to Roxy on a tweet or anybody and say, what are you, stupid? How could you sign with that company after what's gone on the last 2 years? They know. They know. And all these wrestlers know. And Mustafa Ali, at the end of the day, even though we all agree the man is so creative and so talented and should be on TV and should have some type of a championship, but the way he went about business, I think we all understand why he is in the position that he's in right now. But he knew what could happen when you sign with a billion-dollar company like WWE. So, you know, I'm sure Mustafa Ali never thought it would happen to him, but it did. And WWE is not going to set that trend and just let Ali go, no matter anybody online. You know, look at Zelina Vega. When Zelina Vega left WWE, and then you had that Gabriel Gutierrez, we called it. That night, we called it. Nobody was going to get behind Zelina Vega. And this whole idea, yeah, wrestling you, yeah. At the end of the day, every wrestler online, they knew, I'm not putting myself in a situation where I could get banned and disbarred and blacklisted from promoters because I'm stirring shit up. Zelina Vega turned around and nobody had her back. She's back. So, all right, hopefully that answered a few questions out there, because I saw a couple of variations while I was talking. So, again, don't forget, put the capital word question or the capital Q before your question, and I will answer it. One Falls asking me, do I think Tony D'Angelo is going to beat that Matarazz, Tommaso Ciampa? Do I think Tony D'Angelo is going to beat Tommaso Ciampa? As of right now, I think so. I am going to do predictions Wednesday night. As of right now, I think Tommaso Ciampa is going to do the favors for Tony D'Angelo. Will someone else show up? Possibly. But as of right now, I mean, look, Tommaso Ciampa could win, and Tony D'Angelo could also win even if he loses, if you know what I mean. But as of right now, I think Tony D'Angelo, you know, especially with Ciampa on the way out of NXT, I think this would be a nice win for the resume of the young career that is Tony D'Angelo. You know, so that's why you see Goldberg wrestling some people. Look at Bobby Lashley. You know, that entire time where they were building up his match with Brock Lesnar, you know, we said from day one, Bobby Lashley was getting that win, you know, because at the end of the day, that solidifies his Hall of Fame career. To have a win against Brock Lesnar and give him the shortest reign of his career, you know, that is a strong part of your resume. So I think Ciampa doing the favors for Tony D'Angelo is a nice win under Tony D'Angelo's belt. So what's a Ute? Watch my cousin Vidi. Ute. Supposed to be Utes. I know you know that already. So Couple of shout-outs. Chris Kritcher. Do I think with the news, this is a good one. They're all good. Do I think with the news about Hunter and it being WrestleMania weekend, that we may get a Ric Flair-like send-off for him on a Raw, on the Raw after Mania like in 2008. Right now, no. Right now, no. Because Triple H has still got a road to recovery. He's nowhere close 100%. The emotion is stressful in itself. And Triple H, you know, he's going to continue what he's been wanting to do, and that is help generate the stars of tomorrow. You know, I've said this for 2.5 years. WWE took their eye off of what NXT was supposed to be, and that is developmental of tomorrow. And they got caught up with this Wednesday Night War stuff, and they were taking, you know, existing wrestlers like Adam Cole and others, which are extremely talented. But one thing is for certain, you look at all of these wrestlers that have left NXT that or left WWE and have gone to AEW, and they have not improved the ratings at all. They may have solidified 900,000, give or take a little bit, but they have proven that they're not 3, 3.5 million, 2.5 million, 2 million viewers. They're not. So basically, you know, it's not much. And you see some of them put on Rampage, you know, and the ratings haven't increased much at all. So do you feel that some wrestlers that left NXT that ended up going to AEW, you feel like characters have improved since then? Do you feel that they have developed even further? I mean, you look at when someone first comes in to NXT and then when they left, you know, they obviously developed a lot more. I think Kyle O'Reilly ended up a much better, more legitimate performer, more name recognition after leaving NXT than before he ever arrived there. Adam Cole as well. Adam Cole was performing in front of 150, 200 people on average, you know, with the exception of certain events. And when he left NXT, he was much better and bigger than he was before. Does it feel the same way in AEW? No. But at the same time, they haven't been there all that long. So Triple H now is focused about getting the big stars of tomorrow. The next Bron Breakker, the next Gable Stevenson, the next whoever. So he's not leaving. He's still going to be there. So for Triple H, it is a lighter version of business as usual. No, I don't believe they will do this the night after WrestleMania. I think down the line, I'm sure they will have some type of a tribute show for Triple H, but there's no need to right now. Triple H was pretty much retired already. You know, I mean, you always left that door open of him having another match. So, you know, but no, I don't think that's something that WWE wants to do right now. And I don't even think Triple H wants that right now. So he'll be around. I think Triple H making an appearance once in a while in front of the camera would be freaking awesome. I expect him, even with NXT, maybe not necessarily on the USA Network between 8 and 10 p.m., but I wouldn't be surprised if we hit a Triple H, said hello to the live fans who were in attendance at the Capitol Wrestling Center. But no, definitely no tribute in the immediate future. Shout out to Nero Faye. Thank you very much for the birthday wishes. Mikey Ravello, thank you as well. He says, thank you for always keeping it real. The Triple H talk from yesterday really hit home for him and his family. Always add your personal experiences for everyone. It helps a lot. I'm glad. I'm really glad it helped some of you yesterday. You know, I mean, I'm an older guy now, so I have dealt with some experience firsthand and others. I'm not a Forrest Gump. There's a lot of people out there that play Forrest Gump on social media just for attention. But, you know, I mean, if something happens to me and I see it happen to someone else, if I could help in any way, you know, that's what I'm here for. So, you know, I'm glad we had that conversation yesterday. Instead of tribute to Triple H, recap of the interview, you know, highlights of his favorite moments, you know, that's fine and everything, but that's not intimate. You know, trying to understand what happened to him and why. And for 6 months, I explained to you all, cardiac event is not like, oh, my computer had a little event yesterday. People were downplaying it like, oh, it's probably nothing. Maybe a little scare here. No, it's an impersonal way to keep very, very general because they didn't want to make public what happened to them. So, Roger Rubio, much love, my friend. Sweet potato fries for everyone. I love it. To quote Ric Flair, Royal Rumble, what, 91? I love it. I love it. Happy birthday again, Matt. 41 tomorrow, the big 4-1. Much love. Bob the Builder. Do I think it's fair that fans call CM Punk and Bret Hart bitter? You know, we had that conversation yesterday. Bret Hart is very devastated that what he loved the most in his lifetime, what he was around since he was a child with Stu, to be taken away from him because of an accident. Look, somebody could, you could be a runner. You could be a football player. I mean, look, football player, obviously, there's time you have to retire. You can't play until you're 70. But you do something you love, and someone accidentally hits you with their car or accidentally does something, causes you to permanently injure yourself. You know it's an accident deep down inside, but there's that devastation that is very, very hard to overcome. And to see the person who caused Bret Hart that permanent injury still go on for decades and be able to do what he loves, and Bret can't. I can't criticize Bret Hart. I can't. I say this all the time. Any of you out there, you take what you love more than anything else. It could even be a person. And someone else takes that away from you. Someone accidentally does something to your mom. I hate to say it like this. Someone accidentally does something terrible to your mom. Your mom is no longer around. And you see for the next couple of decades, that person still has his mom. He posts on Twitter, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Birthday, Merry Christmas, I love my mom, and this and that. And that person, even though it's an accident, could be very, very devastated and bitter. And I'm going to tell that person, hey, lighten up. It was a fucking accident. It could happen to anybody. Think that makes Bret feel any better? So no. I don't think anybody out there should get on Bret Hart's back because of this. Because look where it landed him. But you also need to understand, as far as his recent comments about Goldberg, people, I don't want to say bait him into this, but people pose questions that lead into Goldberg. You know, it's different if somebody says, hey, Bret, what's your favorite food? Oh, my favorite food is blah, 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 blah. But you know, I always love to eat it in Dallas, Texas. And if it wasn't for Goldberg, maybe I could have been at WrestleMania this weekend and gotten to Dallas, Texas and eat that. If he would have tried to find any little scenario to always pin it on Goldberg, 6 degrees of Goldberg, that's different. And even with that, I would still feel bad for him. So no, I don't think anybody out there should turn around and put heat on Bret Hart, because there's a lot of people that want that same quote from Bret so they could get hits and they could get views and they could get attention on themselves. So that's how I feel about it. Snap SE2K, thank you very much, my friend. Much love to you. Much love to Scott Woodford. Scott, I hope you're doing well. I know we don't talk all that much, but you know, we still think about you off and on. So we see little posts here and there, but I hope you're doing well. Much love. David Peralta, welcome, my friend, as well. Hopefully Tuesday, Mish and I will be around in the afternoon. It's a little hectic over here because I work during the days, but I think Tuesday should still be on. I'm going to talk to Mish tomorrow about it. I'll definitely DM you. And snap, SE2K, I still rule. You all rule as well. Super chats, regular chats, DMs, emails. Awesome, man. Awesome. Thank you. All right, let's go back to El Rumo Chato and let's answer the question. Like I said, put the letter Q, it's not hard, or the word question in capital letters so it stands out, because, like I said, I can't see it really all that well without it. Doug Denslow, worst WrestleMania ever. That's a good one. You know, it's probably like a WrestleMania that we don't talk about ever. You know, almost like WrestleMania 7 or WrestleMania 8. Like, I couldn't even remember the matches at that time. I mean, 5 I remember, 6 I remember, 10, you know, it's probably one of those. I mean, I will say this. I did not like WrestleMania 2 with the simulcasts. It was a good concept, but I didn't like it all that much. Piper and Mr. T with the boxing, you know, I wanted Mr. T to get his ass kicked. I don't know. There was just something about Mr. T. I mean, I enjoyed his work in the original WrestleMania, and the guy really took it seriously. But for some reason, by WrestleMania 2, a lot of people want to see Roddy Piper knock Mr. T on his ass. And then that night, I remember the cheers, but still, I for me, WrestleMania 2 kind of fell flat. Okay, let's see. Going down the list. Okay, checking. 4 was rushed. Yes, I agree with that. 4 was rushed. Do I think CM Punk will eventually be in the WWE Hall of Fame? Yes, I do. You know, one thing about CM Punk, I don't know the man personally. I go based on what I see, how I feel, the vibe. I also see the way he answers people online. Recently, you remember that fan that didn't understand the Ring of Honor connection to the theme music in his match against MJF and Revolution? And that person simply said, am I missing something here? And he embarrassed the guy. You know, like I said, in pro wrestling, for a lot of us, you know, simple is better. All right, you want to throw Easter eggs from 10, 15, 20 years ago? Fine. But when you embarrass people because they don't realize there's an Easter egg there, and then you got other people that didn't know there was an Easter egg either, but then realized there was an Easter egg because someone else said there's an Easter egg, and then they all act online like they knew it all along, which you know they didn't, it's awful. And CM Punk, I feel, has mellowed a little bit over the years. No question he's mellowed a little bit. But I think there is that core attitude about CM Punk where he's an asshole. Extremely talented, one of the greatest in the last 20 years. But as a core, he is a prick. And he will be very quick to embarrass people, you know, and I just feel that, you know, as the years go by and he really can't wrestle anymore, I think, you know, he'll mellow a little bit more. And when it comes time that, you know, they want to celebrate his career, and if the money is right as well, yeah, I think CM Punk would go into the Hall of Fame. You know, understand that, you know, some people in WWE are not going to be there forever. You know, what happened to CM Punk, you know, with his illness and everything when he first left WWE, that was messed up. And if I was him, I would be livid and angry as well. You know, but I feel he's mellowed a little bit, but I think that core part of him, you know, of just being a dick, because you see the climate on social media. There's a lot of people within AEW, if you just notice, even people that don't work in AEW, that clique of reporters online, that clique, You know the people I'm talking about. There is a clique of people out there that if you're not part of that inner circle, if you don't have those same views, if you don't know those Easter eggs and you don't know this and you don't know that, you know, they are some of the nastiest, arrogant, you know, bitter, you know, insecure people. Because eventually, almost all of them, you know, when they're, you know, exposed or embarrassed or, you know, say, oh, everyone, I'm going to take a little time off, you know, I'm not there and I have a, please say, but yet it'd be very quick to hurt someone else. Like I said, that guy that CM Punk embarrassed, that guy got lambasted from thousands of people. And then the guy backed down, and then the next day CM Punk's like, all right, can we all just agree just to, you know, let it go and, you know, let's have tacos. He said something like that. But the damage was already done. People couldn't wait to put in this guy's face simply because he didn't know the Ring of Honor entrance music connection. And there is a culture out there. There is this mob mentality. And there's a lot of people within AEW that way as well. That's why when you see, if you are not a friend of a friend of a friend, or if you're not a buddy of a friend of a friend, good luck on getting any support of any love for anyone out there. You know, especially, you know, you want to try to get as much attention and positive vibes. Do you ever see anybody in AEW or these journalists ever turn around and speak up and like, look, everybody, you know, I know everybody likes this, but, you know, could we, you know, not everybody's going to know the history of this. Not everybody's going to know the Ring of Honor stuff. Not everybody's going to know that what MJF said about the devil is what CM Punk said 17 years ago. You know, we need to, you know, no, instead, you know, you get Tony Khan that'll say, oh, for the trolls out there that say what they say, we do the best pay-per-views. These are some of the most fragile, sensitive, unhinged people. Because the minute something goes against that climate, they're all ready to attack. And it's awful. It's awful. But I think eventually, as years go by, you'll see Punk mellow a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Sergio Morales, I have no idea how Perry Saturn is doing. I hope he's okay. You know, he just ran into some awful hard times. And back then, when I uncovered what I did, I regret it. I regret it. That was pretty much the beginning of the end of me being a journalist. See, what a lot of people still don't understand is I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. There's a lot of people out there that are not reporters or journalists. Sure, we report stuff. And yes, once in a while, we'll get, you know, a little scoop because we're friends. Indigo Uchina, welcome to the family and happy birthday. It was his birthday as well. So, Indigo, I didn't forget. Much love. But we're not reporters. I'm not here to break stories. If I get something once in a while, I'll bring it up on the shows. But we opine. We give our thoughts and opinions about stuff. That's what we do. But once that Perry Saturn thing happened, that was pretty much the beginning and the end of yours truly as a reporter or a journalist. So there is no updates on Tammy at all. Zero. Rojo Bear is asking, do I think Taya and John Morrison will join AEW? Oh, to be honest with you, anything is possible. You know, again, a lot of people still don't understand how the contracts work in AEW. And if they could get a couple of nice paydays out of it and be able to work elsewhere, yeah. You know, you see some of the people that they're not renewing the contracts. Peter Avalon is probably the one that everybody talks about the most. He's no longer under a contract with AEW or is about to no longer be under one, but he is paid by appearance now. Maybe John Morrison wouldn't mind being paid by appearance. Look at Eric Redbeard. Eric Redbeard was on Revolution. Has anybody thought about Eric Redbeard since Revolution? No. Have you seen anyone? What happened? Paid for the appearance. So I'm sure Tony Khan would love to put on the banner, you know, John Hennigan and Taya Valkyrie are all elite. But if they don't want to commit to that, paid by appearance, why not? I don't like being the detective anymore. I mean, there's a lot of skip tracing that I can do and get answers for things. I just don't want to be that person anymore. The stuff with Saturn was pretty hard. That was, especially when I started getting emails from his ex-wife and lawyers and stuff and, you know, getting threats myself. I'm like, man, I just wanted to make sure the guy was alive, you know, and it was just, it was too much, man. It was just way too much. Okay. Here's a good question. Is this upcoming WrestleMania the worst lineup ever? Not even close. I will keep saying this. I know it's catchy to write it in titles and thumbnails and mock it. You look at any WrestleManias in the last 37 years, the ones that you like the most, and you will be lucky if you could get two or three top memorable matches that are still have shelf life today. Maybe some you could get four. On a very rare, almost impossible occasion, you might have five. If you get two or three top quality matches each night, that is a success for WrestleMania. You go down that list, and some of those matches are going to be top quality. Maybe some disappoint. Anything is possible. But there's no way anybody is going to tell me that at least five or six of those matches on paper doesn't have the potential to be some of the most memorable matches we get in 2022. Maybe not match of the year, but it's not the worst lineup. It's not even close. Again, you know, if someone out there doesn't like the card, that is their right. If someone out there feels underwhelmed, that is their right. No question. But to turn around and try to convince people, I will never try to convince someone that something is spectacular, stupendous, or something is awful and terrible. You have to make that judge for yourself. But for me, I look at this card and I see at least five or six matches that are like, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to those matches. And if they're really good, I'm going to watch them again. And that's all you could ask for. Kevon, 14 months as a channel member, what's up to you? And he's a member of the La Nostra Familia. Going to his first WrestleMania this year. Any tips on going to the biggest wrestling show of the year live? Yes, put your wallet in your front pocket. I'm not kidding when I say that. I have had people over the years tell me that either got pickpocketed or, you know, they just fell out. I'm telling you, something as ridiculous as that. Pace yourself. Make sure you know where the nearest bathroom is. Try not to eat like really spicy shit the night before. I'm telling you, things like that you don't think about. The last thing you want to do is, you know, you come back from intermission or something and you're about to see like an epic match with Edge and AJ Styles, and the next thing you know, you're like, you know, just pace yourself. It's going to be a long night. Just pace yourself and have a good time and soak it in. And also, even with the COVID stuff, you know, bring a mask. Bring a mask. I know, you know, the circumstances, the surroundings, you're probably not going to need it. But you never know, man. You might have someone the next row over and you're taking in the show, and they could simply get a scratchy throat from screaming at the top of their lungs. But if someone starts coughing up a loogie, and it's just coughing and coughing and coughing, and that person's right near you, you know, throw a fucking mask on. You know, I'm serious. And I'm one who's been triple vaccinated, about to have my fourth shot. You know, so just enjoy yourself. And take it in. Take it in. Because it's very rare that anybody gets an opportunity to go to even one WrestleMania. And if this ends up being as good as, you know, some people hope it is, it'll be a lifelong memory that can never be taken away from you. So enjoy yourself. Have a good time. Have an awesome time. As far as Ryback, you know, I saw his tweet that, you know, he's kind of disappointed at Triple H and, you know, saw little hints of this. Oh, no, it was Vince Russo who saw little hints. Ryback is very bitter and angry about Triple H. Look, maybe it wasn't the most respectful thing to do, but we don't know what has transpired behind the scenes with Triple H and Ryback. Maybe, I'm not defending Ryback and I'm not criticizing Ryback, but I'll say this. Sometimes someone does you wrong and really does you wrong. And you have no recourse. You have no revenge. You have no way of getting back at that person. And then that person, you know, unfortunately gets an illness, gets something, you know, and in that person's mind, yeah, this is my only opportunity to say, you know what, even though it happened to you, fuck you. You know, I don't condone it. You know, I feel bad for some people out there, you know, in the positions that they're in. I don't know, you know, what has happened truly with Ryback and Triple H and WWE. He doesn't like him. You know, there's more there. It's probably none of my business. I'm sure by him making it public, it should be everybody's business. Now everybody wants to know what's it all about, what's it all about. But, yeah, I mean, I can't say one way or the other with him. I try to understand. But there is obviously some big animosity there. Sergio, smash or pass? Oh, wait. Hey, honey. Tanya. Can't hear. I was going to ask about the Tres Leches cake. Not going to keep doing that. So don't worry about that. My apologies. Smash or pass Nia Jax? You know, since I'm a taken person, I have to say pass. If I was a single person, I'd say smash. Yeah, I would. You know, there's a lot of rumors. We talked about it on Thursday. I said I was going to mention it tomorrow with Mish just to have some fun conversation about it. You know, Nia Jax is launching something on March 30th. And it's supposed to be some provocative content. Now, I'm not saying that she's doing the nasty, you know, or it's going to be full-fledged nudity. But, you know, I'll say this. We don't know if it's an OnlyFans. Rafael Gutierrez, much love, my friend. Thank you for the shout-out and the super chat. I will definitely mention you again in a few moments. Nia Jax is a bigger woman. And I know a lot of people are like, no, really? I had no idea. You know, she's a bigger woman. And today's society, you would think that, you know, especially the way everything is perceived on social media, oh, big is beautiful. No. You're beautiful. But because people dislike her personality, and look, she hasn't earned a lot of support in recent months. You know, she gets a lot of criticism. I'll say this. I will say this as a compliment to Nia Jax. Whether it's OnlyFans or less, the fact that she is comfortable to pose a little more provocative, good. Good for her. She can make money off of it. If people want to give her some money and, you know, everybody is happy in different ways at the end of the day, Fine. I disagree with some of her recent comments, but she is not an ugly woman. And if I was a single person and I had the opportunity, I probably would. Hey, look at me. You know, I could make myself, you know, see, a lot of people don't realize this. I could make myself, you know, hey, you think I'm fat? Oh, okay. How's this? Look, everybody, I'm the size of a paper clip. Let's put this back. Not too much, but let's put it even, 100%. There we go. That's good. Yeah, that's right. Anybody could Photoshop, make themselves, you know, but I think Nia Jax is an attractive woman. I think so. Smash or pass, Sonny? Young Sonny or old Sonny? Young Sonny, absolutely. Older Sonny, I honestly would say no because of her promiscuity. Look, I have always defended Sonny. I'm not friends with her, but I have been friendly with her over the years. And look, I could whip out a bunch of Christmas cards that I still have saved from her, you know, for the years, you know, shortly after Chris Candido passed. She's in a world of trouble right now, and, you know, it gets very, very difficult to defend her, and I really can't. But there's a lot of other stuff that I know that has never been made public about her that is not good. You know, I mean, I'm not going to bring it up here, but as far as just a simple physical standpoint, you know, I just, you know, today's Sonny, no. Do I think WrestleMania would ever go back to Seattle or the Northwest? Sure, Michael. Why not? You know, the one thing is you got to look at weather in April. In the Northwest, temperatures, you know, depending on where it is, can be a little bit warmer. I mean, look at today here in New York. I'm not saying this for everybody to say, oh, happy birthday. But today's my birthday, all right? Right now, outside, I think it's like 39 degrees. Tonight it's going down to 24. You know, when you have a birthday, you think about birthdays from years past. And I could tell you with absolute honesty that I remember clear as day having birthdays, going fishing with just a t-shirt, 70 degree weather. Today it's below 30. So the weather can be unpredictable, very unpredictable in March and April. If the climate is, you know, more warmer temperatures, probably a better possibility of it happening. So, sure, I could see that. Alexis, why did WWE go with Rock versus Hogan and not Austin versus Hogan? Because Austin and Hogan did not really get along. And The Rock versus Hogan was not only money, but it almost felt like, I don't want to say passing the torch, because by then The Rock was already, you know, megastar. But in a way, it felt like the previous generation versus the current generation. And it was magic. Hogan versus The Rock, I never thought, after all these years, it would be in my top three still of favorite matches of WrestleMania of all time. And it doesn't need to be a five-star match, but the commentating, JR and the King, the commentating was five-star. The fan reaction was epic. To see some of The Rock's facial reactions when Hogan is hulking up, everything about it, it was a clash. It was my childhood DT as a Hulkamaniac versus, you know, Attitude Era Don Tony, that thought Hogan was a little bit cliche. And then both my childhood fandomhood and my adult fandomhood clashing with each other and hearing the commentary in the crowd and seeing the reactions. Oh, my God. Hogan versus Austin wouldn't have come close to that. It's just, The Rock is more of a entertainer. Steve Austin is not. Steve Austin is a brawler The Rock is more of a sports entertainer. It fit, and it was perfect. It was near perfect. So, look, just because we've never seen a match or we always fantasize of a match doesn't mean that the match would be good. You know, we could make it good in a video game, but, you know, some fantasy matches, you know, I try to picture it. I try to close my eyes and think, like, how it would be booked. And I just say to myself, I don't know how, you know, it's funny because the Brock of 2022, though, makes it easier. Because Brock of 10 years ago, I think of some fantasy opponents like, oh, that would suck. But now, it's different, much different. So, good questions. Excellent questions. Okay, let's go back to some
Super Chat.
Okay. Bob, do I see WWE being sold in 5 years to Disney? Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I don't know. My gut feeling says no because of, you know, how fast 5 years can happen. I definitely could see WWE, if the price is right, sure, why not? You know, when you see Triple H on a Stephen A. Smith interview say that they want to create the stars for generations to come, generations is 40, 50, 60 years. So, you know, you follow Triple H is saying, sounds like WWE is never going to be sold. But look, if they came back with a lucrative offer, Disney, why wouldn't WWE take it? Why, because of tradition? Because the ancestors and the people of yesteryear or the fans would, you know, disown the McMahon family for selling? No, it's business at the end of the day. So if somebody wants to make a crazy, insane offer, sure, WWE could be sold. Of course. That's business. You think the investors, you know, maybe the investors wouldn't want WWE to be sold. But if somebody wants to overpay, you know, those investors might profit from it. So publicly traded company is handled much differently than how we would perceive business. So, yeah, that could happen. What's Tony Khan's obsession with guys like Danhausen, Orange Cassidy, and Dark Order? Well, like I was saying earlier about the opposite of why Jim Cornette hates that type of wrestling. You know, there are some people that like that, you know, ridiculous uber comedic part of it. You know, if Joey Ryan did not do what he did to those women, there's a good possibility we would have seen Joey Ryan doing that freaking penis plex stuff in AEW. You know, there is an audience. There is an audience. And that core audience goes along with it. Orange Cassidy, you know, the thing that I think people don't realize is if you take away Orange Cassidy's personality, what are you left with? You know, what are you left with? So, you know, it's almost necessary for him to have that personality. You know, the Danhausen, the magic stuff, you know, it's comedic and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, the guy's got to get in the ring and actually compete. But if you've never seen Danhausen in a Ring of Honor, especially, you know, because that's where he got the most exposure, you wouldn't understand why he is there. So, look, you know, some of that type of content Tony Khan likes. That's his right. That's his right. So he's a decent wrestler. He's not a bad wrestler. Orange Cassidy could go too. But again, you take away his persona, what are you left with? You know, so, you know, somebody of his size and stature, you know, without that kind of personality may not have succeeded as much as he has. So, you know, I try to understand it. I may not agree with it. Thank you again, Raphael, for the birthday wishes. Crazy Cruiserweight, April 4th, is the Raw after Mania. Also that night, the championship game for March Madness. These websites should not compare Raw to a show airing at 12 noon on a Monday. I agree 100%. That's why I don't pay attention to those sites. I brought it up a couple of weeks ago to prove a point. You know, we showed you. I mean, nothing against Brandon Thurston, because that guy works his freaking ass off to get stats for everything. But I'm still confused why he and other sites would say Raw was 10th on the night. And they bring up the nine shows that scored higher ratings than Raw, and six of them happened between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Why are you comparing shows that aired in a different time slot together? You know, it's just ridiculous. But hey, you know, if that's how they want to report it, if people want to copy, cut and paste it, that's on them. But it, you and I do not have to pay attention to that. And honestly, it proves my point that the only people that should be paying the paying attention to demographics is the advertisers, the promotions, and the networks. For the regular folk out there, they're just trying to find a reason to defend a less than stellar rating for AEW or to use that against WWE and vice versa. And vice versa. Today, people were having a field day criticizing Rampage's number. We don't know what the final rating is. I'm not going to criticize the Rampage rating until I know the Rampage rating. But people out there, anybody that does it, on either side, anybody that tries to twist the numbers, remember when I showed you those four nights of wrestling for cable, top 15 shows for four straight nights? AEW for Dynamite was the only show prime time for those four nights that was under a million viewers. Yet everybody's trying to say that they were number two that night for the demographic. The one that was number one in there had 5 million people, and then they had 800 and something thousand. There was no other show for those 4 days that was below a million. You look at it like that and you're like, are you kidding me? So anybody that does that on either side, they're doing it simply for an agenda. They think that if they, you know, take the side that everybody is going to, you know, join along with them and get, it's ridiculous. I don't waste my time with that. I'll bring it to people's attention so they could understand. When they hear, oh, Raw lost to America's Newsroom, and then you realize America's Newsroom aired at 9 a.m., why are you comparing the two? All right. Let's wish Rams fan happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Long night ahead of me. No. Believe it or not, we're already at 74 minutes. I'm almost done. We got a crazy week coming up. But, hey, keep the questions coming. I'll stick around a little bit longer. I'm not going to turn into a pumpkin. So, just checking to make sure I'm not missing anybody. All right. Gary Vaughn, what's my birthday wish? You will not get me to cry tonight. My birthday wish is that my mom and dad are still here a year from now. That's the God honest truth. I am very, very thankful. I don't like celebrating birthdays. I made that clear. My fondest memory of my birthdays was when I was a kid, having birthday with my friends, pizza parties, you know, cake, ice cream, gifts, cards, having relatives over. I got older, you know, it was very depressing. I get depressed. I'm not going to lie. I'm very depressed that I'm getting older. You know, I take pictures, I look at myself, and I'm like, the fuck happened here? You know, it's not fun. It's not fun to get older. These shows are an escape to laugh and have fun. And then you have two cancer scares, and then you get some crazy surgeries. Now I got to get a surgery for, you know, my prostate. And then you got family members like, man, I'm going to just try to have fun as much as I can. So, but my family still being here, for them it's important. You know, I didn't have dinner with my family today. I was supposed to. But I ended up having a quiet night with my future missus. But tomorrow, Tuesday, we're going to get together. And another year. Another year with them. That's what I want. All right. You know, look, I don't celebrate birthdays, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. When I see everybody sending birthday wishes, it feels good because it feels that people give a shit. And, you know, like I said, you know, I tried to joke about it on Twitter earlier. I said, look, for those that are too cool for school that couldn't wish me happy birthday, this fart is for you. But, you know, you see people out there that are tweeting about video games 35 times today, and then somebody, supposedly your friend, and can't even once, like, hey, DT, happy birthday. I don't want the birthday wish, but doing that just shows that the person, you know, actually gives a shit. But it doesn't surprise me, though. I've been talking about this for 3 years. I try not to talk about it anymore because it's boring. Honestly, it's boring for all of you. I don't want to bring that shit up, but I know a lot of you go through it also. It could be a very lonely island on social media unless you complain. Unless you curse out Trump, you curse out Nia Jax, you curse out other things, you praise this, you don't do those things, it could be a very lonely island on social media. Nobody pays attention. You know, and you see a lot of times somebody will be like, you know, for those that are my true friends, if you don't respond to this tweet, then I'm going to be deleting everyone. And you see people do that and you're like, man, you know, you can only feel terrible for people like that. So, how is Neil Ray an OG and not Austin? They're all OGs. They're all OGs. You know, the reason why I haven't added any moderators because Austin does a good job here. The climate is awesome here. You know, I changed the guideline that you can't comment unless you're here for 20 minutes. I don't think anybody out there is going to sit for 20 minutes just to comment something stupid just to get blocked after. But, you know, I see some podcasts out there that they don't let any people comment unless they're a member for a month. You know, and that's smart also because it shows who really wants to be part of your family and not just wants to chat for the night and disenroll. But Neil's asking if I could read his super chat. Let me find it because I do not see one. Oh, yes, now I see it. Wait, didn't I wish you a happy 14-month anniversary a few minutes ago? Yes. God bless you too, Neil. And yes, you know, because that wasn't a super chat. That was a freebie. And I'm saying that because whether it was a freebie or a $1 million super chat, I would still say the same thing. You definitely are one of the OGs over here. There's quite a few of you here that are OGs. And trust me, I try to figure out ways, even when we do Q&As and other stuff, I always try to make sure that they're at the top of the list. When I answer questions, you know, sure, somebody may have an awesome, you know, question to ask that definitely deserves to be brought up, you know, maybe sooner, but I always try to make sure that, you know, I give props to everybody. And it sucks too, because sometimes you forget people. And I do feel bad sometimes, you know, like somebody feels, you know, like, oh, I didn't mention him. It's not intentional. So, Soulfly, yeah, he's another one, sure. All right. Any interest in the Supercard of Honor? Yes. Yes. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to pay to watch it. You know, with all due respect, I know Jay Lethal is awesome. Do I want to see him against, who's he facing again? Oh, shoot. Lee Johnson. Look. For QT Marshall and the Nightmare Factory and maybe Tony Khan and some people behind the scenes, Lee Johnson is epic, amazing, a good guy. Oh, he deserves it, this and that. I'm sorry, as a casual general wrestling fan, I'm sorry, Lee Johnson just doesn't do it for me. Wheeler Yuta, okay, he cut a great promo. He got smacked in the face from William Regal. And he cut a decent promo on Dynamite. You think I want to see Wheeler Yuta for Supercard of Honor? With all due respect, Jonathan Gresham versus Bandido is going to be awesome. But, you know, as a combined collective effort, no, I don't think I am going to spend $30. And even if I got it for free, I mean, it depends on what I'm doing, and I will watch it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it live and in real time. But yeah, no, I definitely plan on seeing it. It's just not on my utmost top priority list. But I will continue saying it. I am 1,000% behind Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. I'm glad that WWE didn't buy it, because I don't see WWE doing for Ring of Honor what Tony Khan would do. And sure, I mean, he may lose money off of it. But you know what? If we get good shit and the Ring of Honor sticks around and some wrestlers get a little bit more work out of it, you know, in the end, it's more content for us to enjoy. There's only so many times that I want to see Ring of Honor from 2007, you know? By the way, I got to show you something. I was going to save it for Monday, but I'm going to show you something now. I want you to just look at this and give this credit to Brandon Thurston, because he's the one that actually pulled this. But I ask you this question when I show this to you. Is this something that AEW should be worried about? I'm going to show you something right now. I'm just putting a black background so it looks nicer. Okay, I got it. What Brandon Thurston did was he pulled up from YouTube the top 25 videos, WWE or AEW, that have been released on YouTube over the last 7 days. Let me repeat that before I show it to you. The top 25 videos, WWE or AEW, that have been released on YouTube in the last 7 days. AEW had four in the top 25. Only four. I got to show you what those four are. For those on video, take a look at your screen. For those on audio, I will read it to you. The four videos that AEW made on that list all have to do with the Hardys. They had Jeff Hardy in the 8-man tornado match, his dive. That got 1.3 million views. Hardys make their AEW tag team debut, did 1.4 million views. The Hardys just showing up on the rampway on Rampage. That did almost 1.7 million in the views. Jeff Hardy makes his first appearance in AEW ever, did 2.3 million views. And that's it. No CM Punk, no MJF, no Hangman Page, no Thunder Rosa, nobody except for the Hardys. Should that be concerning? Because this is YouTube. This is not like, I have things to do on Wednesday, and I can't watch wrestling on a Friday night at 10 o'clock. This is just going on YouTube and watching a video. I think that's pretty interesting when you think about it. There's nobody other than the Hardys. I find that pretty fascinating when you think about it. Just figured I'd share it with you. I mean, look, I said what I said earlier about comparing Raw to news shows from 9 o'clock in the morning, but this motherfucker does a lot of research, Brandon Thurston, deserves a lot of credit. That is pretty fascinating. All right, we're going to wrap this up in about 4 minutes. So last call for a question. Nothing that requires multiple minutes of answering, because we want to get out of here. I want to be done at the exact 90-minute mark. Don't forget, tomorrow, after Raw, Mish and I will be here for the go-home edition of Raw, the last Raw before WrestleMania. They got a lot of stuff planned, so we're going to get into it. We will see what they will do and what they will reveal with Seth Rollins, which should open up Raw. I expect it to open up Raw. Now, predictions for WrestleMania. I mentioned this yesterday, and once again, predictions will be done live Thursday at 9:05 p.m. So if you are online Thursday, join me. We will go through the predictions quickly because 48 hours after, WrestleMania will already be halfway through the books. So we're going to just give quick. I be honest with you, I wanted to do it tomorrow. The only thing is that I know Mish likes to keep his predictions for his own show. And I noticed the two times that the last two pay-per-views that I did predictions, I'm sure it was just coincidence, but I ended up doing those shows alone. So I don't know if it was just coincidence or if it was just, look, I don't want to do predictions 4 days before I do my own show. So it's if that's the case, it's not fair to him. So Thursday night, I'm going to do predictions. Tomorrow we'll just do a banger of a Breakfast Soup Raw. And we'll see what goes down tomorrow. Any news that transpires over the weekend, we'll get into it as well. So, Thursday, we're not doing Q&A for the simple reason that it's WrestleMania weekend. So, but remember, we have the watch party Tuesday for NXT. Friday, we will do a watch party for Rampage and SmackDown. So that WrestleMania SmackDown, we will be doing a watch party. So that'll be where we all hang out and chat and all that stuff. So who is Randy Orton's best tag partner? Edge, Riddle, Batista, or other? For me, Rated RKO was probably my favorite of them all. I'm enjoying Riddle with Randy Orton. The problem is, for me, Riddle's lost too many matches. You go back and you watch all the matches. They were not necessarily as a tag team. They would be in singles competition for a particular night. Riddle lost way too many matches. There was a different dynamic with Randy Orton and Edge. Randy Orton may legitimately be having the most fun now, you know, with Riddle. But for me, it's Randy Orton and Edge. My bird, African Gray Fred, he's back with my mom and my dad. So that's why I didn't bring him in the room. If anybody was on a watch party last week, I brought him in twice, and two times he took a shit on me live on video. That was not intended. I'm like, hey, Freddie, say hello to everyone. And he's like, fuck that. And he took a dump on my shirt. The first one was so bad, I had to take a shower in the middle of the watch party. I had like dried urine like on my chest. It seeped into my shirt. I tried like washing off with a rag. I was like, nah, I had to take a shower. Darren, you haven't submitted too many questions. It's just I have no idea who framed Roger Rabbit. Darren is an OG also. He is on many of the watch parties. You know, Friday was awesome, man, because Friday we had UK, Australia. I almost said England. It's almost the same thing. Israel. United States, we have West Coast, East Coast. I mean, it was the whole world was in our watch party. You all should show up for a little while. You have a good time because we actually watch the wrestling. You know, you don't just see my face and nothing else. We actually see the wrestling on the screen and we have some fun convo in the process and it doesn't cost nothing. What did I have for dinner two Thursdays ago? I have no idea. I don't. Shit, I don't remember. I don't know why you're awake but not drunk, Darren. All right. I do not know the Muffin Man. All right, we got 45 seconds. Cena, okay. I had a feeling you were going to delete that, Charlie, because I was like, what is he saying? Why did Hogan versus Sting fail at Starrcade? There's a lot of matches that have failed over the years. Sometimes the thought, the concept, even the storyline, the build, you know, looks good or people think it, and then the way it's executed, it just falls flat. We've seen many matches happen that way. It just happens. 70 minus 1 is 69. Is it too late for Ken Shamrock versus Brock Lesnar? Yeah. Yeah. It's too late. I mean, I could see if they wanted to do a storyline where Ken Shamrock was trying to get one last run. Problem is, I don't think WWE fans would care all that much, with all due respect. If they would have kept Shamrock's name alive on WWE television in different ways over the years, I could see a possibility. I know he's done stuff in Impact, and I've seen it, and he doesn't look bad. I don't think WWE fans care. My thought on Jen Psaki, she does good for Biden, but I don't really pay attention to politics much anymore. Who would have ever thought, right? You go back 4 years, you look at my iTunes reviews 4 years ago, man, I love their show, but this motherfucker DT can't stop talking about politics and Trump and everything like that. Who would have ever thought that not only would I not vote for him in 2020, but I don't talk about politics no more. I can't. I'm just not into it. They all suck. They all suck. Italy not qualifying for the World Cup doesn't surprise me. You know, Italy, they do it in spurts. You know, they will get a lot of years of unproductive teams, and then out of nowhere, they just bang it out. Look, that year that they won the cup, what year was that? It has to be like early 2000s. Maybe, I don't think it was 98 because I started my insurance office in 98. But that year when they won the World Cup, I had on my desk the figures of all of the soccer players. 2006, 2005, yeah, that sounds about right. You had to see my neighborhood, Howard Beach, going bananas. Everybody suddenly was a fucking soccer fan. I had the figures on my desk. And then that was it. Everybody was wearing the jerseys. So 2006. I think it's 2006. I don't think it's 05. I'm not a big fan of soccer. You know, I mean, you know, like I go to my fiance's house, her father watches it all day. You know, my favorite part of soccer is when I'm watching, like, the Spanish channels. Goal! That's the only thing I like. Puta, 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 puta! Goal! Did I say puta? Not intentional. Puta, 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 puta. That's soccer meets AAA wrestling. You ever watch AAA wrestling, you know what I'm talking about, so. Thank you, big bastard. You fucking bastard. I'm the only podcaster. There's a lot of good podcasters out there. Like I say, you know, me, I just try to be myself a little bit, you know, and some people love it because at least we could get like a little personal connection. Some people think, oh, that guy has always got to make it about himself. So, you know, I do what I do. People like it, cool. People don't like it, cool. So, sneaking an extra 5 minutes, I see everybody. So, let's start bringing this home. So, I don't have any issues with Bully Ray anymore. That was a long time ago, and that's when I was... You know, I made valid points, but I was disrespectful. I was definitely deserving of an ass kicking. I think I made valid points, but yeah, I mean, I realized, you know, I mean, I was too over the top of what I said. So I'm the one that is guilty of most of the mistakes there. It would have been fun if I did go to Florida, though. I would have been very curious. I have an idea what... I'm not lying when I say this. I have a good idea of what would have happened. Because a lot of you out there, you know, I've told this story before. A lot of you may not know this story. But when I was doing my wrestling hotline back in 1999, 2000, I would say... I did it with a co-host, Mad Zombie. It was the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. The Blackhearts, Mad Zombie, Brian Damage, yours truly, Timmy Arson, who you knew as the ECW Zombie, God rest his soul. And we had the biggest, best wrestling hotline in the country. And Mad Zombie bootlegged a lot of wrestling videos. He also had other items for sale. We'll just leave it at that. SRH, John, much love, my friend. Happy anniversary, and thank you for the birthday wish. Much love. So Mad Zombie used to sell a lot of bootleg wrestling tapes and other things. And at that time, one of the most popular videos that were floating around was, and I'm sorry for saying this now because she's a mom, she's a wife, she doesn't do this anymore, but it is part of history, so I will mention it. Beulah McGillicuddy. She did an adult video for, I think it was Penthouse. It is her with a toy, I'll say it nicely. And it was a very popular film. Now, let me tell you the comical side about this. And I brought this up before. If anybody remembers that film, and I'm sure it's probably still floating around online, the funny thing about that film is that there was never any sound. You couldn't find sound. It would just be the video. So at that time, eBay, you could sell crazy shit on eBay. And at one time, I actually sold a 4-pack on eBay, which, get this, and I still have one tape. I have one tape in a box, and I got to pull it out of storage now. Not tonight, but you look at the label, it says it. My video on eBay would be the Beulah video, Kimona Wanalea dancing on top of the ECW arena in the Eagle's Nest, Pam and Tommy, their sex video on the yacht, and the wedding night of Tanya Harding. All four. Oh, and Chastity from Live Bait. Remember Chastity? I still have the original Live Bait video. Somebody offered me $600 for the video about 2 or 3 years ago. I did not sell it. I still have the VHS tape, Chastity's Live Bait. So I had all five scenes on a VHS tape, and I was selling them for $20 a clip. But I was selling them in 02, 03. ECW had already gone out of business. And it was funny. And I've always told this story before. The next to last time that I ever hung out with Vic Grimes. Remember Vic Grimes? New Jack? You know, the stat Vic Grimes. We were hanging out in the hotel in XPW. And he's like, bro, next time you come, can you bring me one of those tapes? You know, like, sure, no problem. I gave him the tape. But 4 years earlier, when ECW was still around, Mad Zombie is selling bootlegs of just the Beulah porn. That's what they called it, the Beulah porn. There was no sound. Nobody ever had the original sound, and it was always a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. The video quality is not good. It's good enough, but it's not good. So people became creative with it. Somebody would put in this very generic porn music and they would splice it into the tape. Somebody actually took audio from someone else's masturbation video and almost synced it up perfectly. The problem is, whoever the girl was that you heard, she was either Latino or black. It did not sound like Beulah groaning. It was very, very, very deep voice, like, oh, 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 oh. And it was just ridiculous. So Mad Zombie is selling these at the Elks Lodge in front of the building. True story. Tommy Dreamer, who was dating Beulah at the time, not yet married, ECW finds out that Mad Zombie is outside the Elks Lodge, my hotline host, selling bootlegs of the Beulah porn. So Mad Zombie goes into the building, because we used to go to ECW events together on Queens Boulevard. And I think it was Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and someone else. Might not have been Dreamer, but it was one of those two and someone else. Somebody goes up to Mad Zombie and says, can we talk to you for a minute? He's like, yeah, no problem. He goes, they bring him into the bathroom in the Elks Lodge. And they basically told Mad Zombie, if they catch him selling the VHS tapes of the Beulah porn anymore at the ECW arena, that he was going to be shitting out the tapes. You know, they were going to beat the, they scared the shit out of him. So what does this guy do? He goes on his hotline, because we had our hotline and he had his own hotline also. He goes on his hotline the following week and he cuts the price in half. He was selling them for $20 and he's like, for sale for the next month, $10. Didn't faze him at all. But I'll be honest, I felt guilty in 2002, 2003 selling them because there was no personal intimate connection to her. You know, she was in a penthouse video. She did this thing. I mean, but now when you see somebody married with kids, you know, I would never, ever dare, you know. I have the video still, but I have no interest in watching it. So, but yeah, he legitimately, they threatened to beat the living fuck out of him. And me, I didn't want to get screwed because remember in 2000, I started selling tickets for ECW and I became friendly with Lou DeAngeli, Louis Dangerously, and a few others. And, you know, I would go to the events and, you know, I got backstage and you know the stories of me bringing food for everybody. And everybody was always mad cool with me. And then, you know, that's why I like had to distance myself from Mad Zombie a little bit. Like, no, I can't be around this guy. I don't want to get my ass kicked. But so I kind of like pictured years later when Bully Ray called me out for the TNA stuff. He's like, come on to Florida. Come on, in the middle of the ring, confront me. You know, you want to be a wrestler? Come on in the middle of the ring. And I didn't go. And I thought to myself, what would have happened if I actually would have went? But you know what? Looking back on it, I was the one that really was a prick about it. And I shouldn't have said half the things that I said. So, all right. So I'm going to get out of here. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. We banged through a boatload of questions. This is going to be interesting. I got to type up a little bit of a synopsis. Now, for the last 2 days, I've not put timestamps. I actually had a few people that I have that have huge YouTube channels that sent me DMs like, DT, keep your synopsises, but don't do timestamps. And I'm like, why not? I think it's easier, you know, for people to navigate. He's like, yeah, but, you know, if they know that they could click on this for 2 minutes and they get, you know, their answer for one thing, you know, then your numbers start going down because they just, so, you know, I'm not trying to screw anybody about it, but like I said, I'm still new over here. So I'm trying to find a good balance. You know, I always want people to know what they're going to tune into, but you'll see little things tweaked here and there. I just don't want you to think that I'm being lazy. So, but I hope you join me tomorrow night. I will be here with Mish and we will talk about Raw. We'll see what goes down with Seth and anything else that transpires in the next 24 hours. So on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. Once again, I thank you all for the birthday wishes and the kind words, and especially, again, for yesterday. Because believe me when I tell you, you know, watching the Triple H interview, was very, very personal for me because what we talked about for 6 months, wondering what happened to him, ended up being almost identical to what happened with my dad. You heard me say Widowmaker at least 100 times over the last year. And to hear him explain it, you relive what happened to your own family. And that's what happened to me. I'm watching and I'm reliving what happened with my dad. And I'm looking at the tweets from February of last year, and I'm like, God, you know, it just feels like the exact same thing. And that's when you realize, as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, some ailments can be, you know, because of someone's own behavior, whether, you know, intentional or unintentional. But sometimes health issues are beyond your control. It could be hereditary. And sometimes it could come out of nowhere. And if you look back at my tweet from February, my father went one day from being in good health, going for his annual stress test, to the next day getting sliced and getting triple bypass, you know, where they didn't know if he was going to make it. And same thing with Triple H. Wasn't on any medications, had no signs of anything wrong. and just, you know, started to get a little bit of pneumonia and the fluid building up, and you realize the artery is clogged. And it just led a chain of events. That guy could have had stroke, heart attack, could have had a lot of things happen. And when you hear 99% clogged, how do you go every year from you're good to 99% clogged? That's what happened to my dad. My dad was 95% clogged. You know, it doesn't make sense, but the Widowmaker is the hardest to detect. That's why they call it the Widowmaker, because it's so quick and it's so abrupt without any warning that it just gets you. So, all right, everybody. Have a good night. I hope to see you tomorrow after Raw. If not, you know, we got a whole week's worth of shows. You could see in the synopsis, you know, the schedule for the shows this week. And, you know, tomorrow we have Breakfast Super Raw. Tuesday will be Patreon and the watch party for everybody. Wednesday will be Wednesday Night Dynamite, which will be more predictions for Stand and Deliver. And we'll briefly go over Dynamite and NXT. I am going to keep the special shows as short as possible because there's so many shows we got to do this week. Thursday will be predictions for WrestleMania. Friday will be at a watch party for SmackDown and Rampage. Saturday, we have two. We have Stand and Deliver recap, which will be around 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night around 11, we're going to have WrestleMania night one. And then Sunday will be WrestleMania night two. And then next Monday will be the Raw after WrestleMania. So, like I said, it's going to be a busy week with shows, but expect the shows to be shorter. I am, without a doubt, going to go out of my way to keep them short. Probably an hour at the max. Monday will probably be the exception to the rule. But everything else, I expect it to be an hour tops. Because within a week, some of this is going to be outdated. So, and yeah, I mean, with all due respect, there's no reason why we have to do a Dynamite recap every single week. Anything big that comes out of Dynamite, we could talk about. But for the most part, Wednesday, I want to focus on Stand and Deliver prediction. So, all right, everybody. Thank you, as always, for the support. It is very much appreciated, and I will see you all again soon. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.